A thought for today. Raise a Christ child? Can I raise my Christ self? Raise a Christ child? Can I raise my Christ self? Me? Raise a Christ child? Can I raise my Christ self? Now, we have talked about this many times, that I'd like to have 12 test tube babies here who did not have parents, fathers, mothers, anything that they know. And that we would have some very outstanding surrogate parents here. Christ parents, who would raise these children as Christ children, who would not know anything about the standard procedure for raising children. Now, take Mr. Spock's book and throw it away. Mr. Spock is one of the baby people, doctors, who has written about this extensively, and people live in raising their children by what he has said. And what he has said is very good for a human baby. Okay. So we have this little test tube child, and we have 3, 5, 10, 12 of you. If we get one of you to do it, that'd be great. But we have a mother, a father, whatever, but not a mother, father. We don't need a mother, father. We need a loving presence. A loving presence that lets this child know that it is not only special, that it is great. And every moment that this surrogate parent, we'll leave it at that for now, every moment that this surrogate parent works with this child, this parent falls deeper and deeper in love with the child. But carefully, because it will not allow permissive or the opportunity to have its own way, child. It helps the child create its own way in what the child wants to do. Well, that's having its own way. No. You see, parents usually say, Mr. Spock says at 2 the child does this, at 1 the child does this, at 3 the child does it. Well, that's not true. When you are dealing with a child and you are training him, her, it, to be whatever it is, you are saying to the child, you're a genius. You're the Christ child. You're perfect. You're ideal. Every thought you think is a beautiful thought. Every word you speak, blah, 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 blah. Every word you speak is a joyous, fantastic thought. You see, a child is already a super genius. A child comes into the body of this undeveloped body and waits out the development time. And during the development time, the child normally is trained to be a human being. It is trained to think thoughts of humans. It's trained to hear shouting and crying, hearing music of all varieties, hearing stories that it knows all about, and seeing anger and joy and hate and harmony, seeing all those things. Well, that's a human child. But the divine child that we have doesn't need to have those experiences, doesn't need to go through the evolution from being angry and unhappy to being happy and joyful. The divine child can be always happy, always joyful. And let me make a suggestion. It's not just a level, as we said, on the oscilloscope of a dead person. It is an up climb. Every moment the child is expressing more and more of its inner genius. Every moment the child is being more and more of its divine self as its physical body is allowing it the mechanism through which to express it. Because the child has always been a genius, but it didn't have the way to express it. And the parents and the community and society stamp on that child, and tell it, no, you must do this at age two, you must do that. And these expectations that are in the minds of the parents are in the minds of the children. The parents don't have to say a word. Whatever they think, that child picks up. You know that. You don't believe it and practice it, but you know it. Anita's mother thought of her, and Anita was thinking of her mother at the same time. Why? Because they were sitting next to each other holding hands? No. They're miles apart. Thought has nothing to do with being close or far. But imagine when you are involved with a child every day, how much every thought you think. Oh dear, the bills again, what are we going to do? I guess we're going to have to cut down on this and that. Not cut down on baby food though. We've got to cut down on this and that. Not cut down on the diapers and stuff, but we'll cut down on this and that. And the anxiety, the frustration, it's teleported right into the child. And the child knows that and feels these anxieties and doesn't understand what the anxieties are because it's not fully explained by the parent. So the child grows to have invisible anxieties, invisible frustrations. And then as it becomes older, then these things are habitual within them. They have become something that they live with. But a Christ child who's raised by a Christ master, a surrogate parent who has been trained to handle it in specific ways, and it can be done, that child grows up to be fantastic from day one because there are no inhibitions or limitations put on it. It is guided to its highest best, its highest possibility, and it goes to it. It just has a ball going to it. And as it goes to it, it expresses it. You think it's an accident. I know you think it's an accident that some children are happy children and some children are angry children. Some little babies cry their head off and yowl and scream and holler and tantrum, tantrum, tantrum. Hey, let's stop and look where the tantrum came from. It came from mommy or daddy. Their frustrations. Maybe they didn't say to the child, you're having tantrums. They're saying, you're frustrated. You're angry. You're confused. You don't know what we're talking about. You don't know the naughty things that we're saying in our life about ourselves and each other. And the doubt that the wife has, where's my husband tonight? Where is he? Is he out with some other woman? And daddy's babysitting the kid. He said, I wonder what she's doing tonight, if she's doing something terrible that she's not supposed to be doing. You know, that's frustration and anger that's put into the child. When a parent is harmonious with the other parent, when they're loving and pure and beautiful, they transmit this to the child. A happy family is a happy family because it's a happy family. It's not a happy family here and there because of this and that. Oh, some children come out, even of a rugged experience, quite happy. But because they at one point decide, I'm not going to listen to that nonsense anymore. If mom and dad want to argue about something, go ahead. That's okay, they enjoy it. When my mom and dad aren't arguing, then they're picking on each other. So I'd rather have them arguing. And you see, they rationalize. But I assure you, deep within that person are hang-ups that will put them into mental unbalance and put them into the hospital, put them on drugs and on medication. A lot of very sound, normal, wonderful people blow up. Heads of industry and business who are the top people in the world virtually. They lose their cool and they go mentally berserk. You don't hear about all of them because they are quietly tucked away. You see, there's so many of these things. If we could raise a Christ child, and every child is a Christ child, as a Christ child ourself, from our Christ self, we would give them the stability that we have. You see, we don't have to do this. Now, let's just make that clear right away. There's nothing important about raising a Christ child. There's nothing important about having a child be all that it can be, as perfect as it can be. And it's not our job. It's not our job. It's totally not, obviously it's not your job, you're not doing it. You have no children that you're caring for, you have no husband or wife that you're caring for, you have no family that you're caring for. Oh, I do it to my grandchildren. Oh, yes, yeah, sure. When I think of it. When I think of it, I think Marcello is a genius. When I think of it, when I don't think of it, then I hear that he has done something stupid. His father tells us that he didn't pass in this grade here and that he had to give him some special help. Well, I'm thinking to myself, why didn't he pass in that grade? Why is he got? Don't think such things. If you are a Christ person speaking about your Christ child is incapable of being anything unlike a Christ child. So the moment you hear anything about that Christ child that's contrary to what you do, and you don't listen to it very long, if at all, but the moment you hear a negative coming out, you instantly say, he is the Christ child. He is beautiful. He is glorious. He is fantastic. You know what will happen? He'll be there. Because he's in tune with you when you're in tune with him. Don't forget, you created him. You're the master of the world. You're totally in charge. Now back to the fact that we don't have to do this. And it's obvious we don't have to do it because you're not doing it. But if we did it, like playing a game of chess, if we did it, would we move him on our chessboard, or her, or them, would we move them on our chessboard out of anxiety, out of frustration, out of fear, out of protecting ourselves? Are we protecting the pawn and the rook and the knight? Are we protecting the king? Are we protecting the queen because she can do so many things? You see, a chess player doesn't protect anything. He goes forth valiantly with success on every move. And he is willing to so-called lose something to gain a lot, because he knows that what he has lost is not lost. It's just part of a game. And so he can give up being possessed about things. He can give up being frustrated and being angry and being stressed. He can give those things up. But I don't want to give it up. I miss it. I like being stressed. I like being anxious. I like hurting myself. I like feeling sorry for myself. That's right, we do. But the Christ child should never have that in his consciousness in the beginning, from being raised by his parents. Now, we're the surrogate parents of our ideas. We created them. What kind of thoughts do we give our ideas, our Christ ideas? For instance, the idea, my body is whole and perfect, and I might be experiencing something less than whole and perfect. Do we think about what we're experiencing that's less than whole and perfect, that's causing us to say our body is whole and perfect? Or do we one-pointedly think our body is whole and perfect? Do we one-pointedly go around acting whole and perfect? Do we one-pointedly go around and look like we're whole and perfect? Or do we feel sorry for ourselves and have people say, oh, what's the matter, sweetheart? You look like you're not feeling too good today. Oh, dear, what seems to be your problem? Why, you're such a strong man or such a powerful boy. You shouldn't be having any problems, my goodness. But people come to us and tell us what we're feeling because we're wearing it all over us. Now, the Christ child wears all over him and her exactly what they are. Whole and perfect, responsible, happy, joyful, for every thought they think, And the word responsible ceases to have meaning because they don't know any other thought than a joyful thought. They don't know any other thought than an honest thought with integrity. They don't know any other thought than to be responsible. The word responsible, yes, it's a good thought. They don't know any other thought but to be responsible for their thoughts. They don't know a negative thought. Can you imagine a world in which such a thing exists? Well, it exists right on this other dimension here. Now let's bring it forth on this dimension, because you're living every dimension right here and now. All time, all space is right here and now. So let's bring it forth on this dimension. Could you actually give birth here to a Christ child, or 12 of them, and raise these 12 outstanding young people to be themselves and have fun?
To be monks all their life and remember that they're monks.
No. Just to be their Christ self, their divine self, and remember it all their lives. And if they want to call themselves monk self or Christ self or divine self, that's okay. What does the term mean to you? Does it mean limitation to you? Or does it mean expansion of consciousness? If it means expansion of consciousness, then use it. I was so interested in Katerina. Katerina had been raised in a very interesting way. Her mother and father separated, and her mother never chose to marry again, but she had many lovers. And her father probably had many lovers before he married again, too. But they learned to have a life in which you have many partners. And in this sort of life, you learn to feel that having many partners and having these relationships with married men or unmarried men, or with married women or unmarried women, that that's okay. And you see, then you build this up into your consciousness. And so when you build it up into your consciousness, then when you are adult and you are living your life, then you carry these same attitudes with you. And they're not bad or good, but you carry them with you. But you see, they are bad from the point of view that you have been raised in a community which accepts or doesn't accept those things. You've been raised in a Bible society which accepts or doesn't accept those things. And if you were a Catholic, you were definitely raised in a church that does not accept divorce, that does not accept those things. You know what I mean? And so when you have this conflict of reality, of experiences with your parents and with yourself, and then you have this other moralism that's coming at you from society and the church, you're in conflict. And you're going to run up against yourself sooner or later. What is your attitude about yourself? Now, Katerina did nothing right nor wrong, but she did something very, very evil to herself. She has two masters. She has two gods. She has her own experiences, and she has what the church and the community think. And the church and community are just tearing her to pieces, as they're tearing you to pieces, because you're not doing things that you're supposed to do. For you to run around like you're doing here is thought to be bad. And yet you are the most pure people. You are purer than the people outside the gate, so to speak. Not because you're better, but because your morals are pure. You don't violate them. You live within the standards that you believe. They go back and forth. Now, could you be one of them and go back and forth and like yourself? Not really. But you have standards. To raise a Christ child, you'd have to have standards. Your standards would be that everything that Christ child does is good. If the Christ child starts talking about something that is strange and unusual, you don't stop him. You say, tell me more. Tell me more. I want to hear more about that. Tell me more about these little friends you have that I don't see. Tell me about them. then maybe I'll see them too, and maybe you will. You see, you cannot be associated with the Christ child without becoming the Christ child yourself, even though you've had a background that might be limiting to you, even though you had a background that might be putting you in a whole different stress situation. You can be the Christ child. Raise a Christ child? Can I raise my Christ child self? Think about it. Let's begin today to raise our Christ child self. And unfortunately, we come back to the same words. Let's judge not another being or ourselves. Let's just live from the depth of our own heart. Let's not possess what another has. Because many of you are using the same suggestion that Greg throws at me all the time. But look at all these other people who haven't had our philosophy and how good a life they have. Well, tell me about it. From the human point of view, perhaps they do have a good life. But have they found their divine self within?
Well, they probably have. They probably have.
And they probably haven't. You see, if you allow yourself to be satisfied with a can of beer, a television, and a wife and kids running around the house, that's fine. If you allow yourself to be satisfied with the illusions or the appearances of the world as they come to your attention, that's fine. But if something in your heart says there's more to this, there's something more. I am not satisfied with the illusion world because I see it changing all the time. There's some foundation behind this all. There's something great and beautiful and good. And then the divine in you says, that's right. Glad you decided to look me up. Just check me out on the internet. I'm here. Just look up the word God. Look up the word divine. Look up the word God, Christ, divine. Beautiful. Yes, there is something more than whatever the relative world can offer. And hey, we don't mind the relative world. We have a lovely relative world house here, a lovely relative world carpet that we sleep on. We have a lovely relative world temperature. Because this temperature is created by society. They think we're going to have storms, zoom, you have it. They think it's going to be a lovely day, zoom. And who helps us so much? Who plants the seed so much? Anybody can tell me if you wish.
Media.
The weatherman. The media. The weatherman. The weatherman forecasts weather for weeks ahead. Sometimes it does happen. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes, well, a strange front came in from the north that we hadn't expected. This happened. Hey, you can have any weather you want. Be your own media. Be your own weatherman. You can have your own environment. I'll be taking you on another out-of-body journey soon, and we'll go back to our friend on the Himalayan mountainside in his special little retreat. Kind of nice, remember? So we'll go and see him again. Not your brother. We'll go see somebody else. But you see, this is what we are. This is our reality. We know there's something greater than anything that we have ever experienced. We know that we have capacities that we haven't reached, and that doesn't mean just physical capacities, mental, spiritual. We know that walking on water is a very simple thing. We know walking on fire is simple. We know teleportation is simple, because we have teleported ourselves many times to many places, and I show you how to do it in out-of-body journeys. You say, well, I really didn't go there. Don't kid yourself. You went. Wherever my thought takes you, you went. You may have fought along the way. I don't want to go to grandma's. I don't want to go to grandma's. I don't want to go to grandma's. And then you go to grandma's. Grandma comes to the door, and she says, here's $5 for my grandson. Grandma, I'd like to come to your house. Yeah. Grandma's not going to be a fool. She doesn't want any little rascals who don't like to be at her house. She sensed that he didn't want to come. And the reason he didn't want to come was that he wasn't able to play with his friends, and he wasn't able to have his neighborhood activities that he's familiar with. But when Grandma gave him $5, woo! Can I spend it any way I want? It's yours. I would never tell my grandson what to do. You want me to take you downtown and let you go to the market or go to the store or, you know, go to the toy store? Grandma, is it okay if I walk down myself? Because it was only 2 blocks away. Is it okay if I go in the store myself? It's a little town of 2,000 people. Sure. So he goes, $5! He buys a lot of candy. Buys a lot of... And then you know what he does? You know what he does? Can anyone tell me before I tell you? What?
He buys something for Grandma.
Exactly. Not Papa, not Mama, but something for Grandma. Because the joy of his heart is in saying thank you, saying I love you, and saying, I don't always understand you, but I love you. Sometimes, Grandma, with your false teeth, you have bad breath, you know. Sometimes, Grandma, you forget to change your dress because you don't smell it anymore. You've worn it for 3 or 4 days or a week or two. And sometimes, Grandma, you have that woman smell that comes out of you, and it's very strong, but that's okay, Grandma. I understand. I love you. Not in spite of it, but I just love you. You see, these are things. These are things. Now, the little incident of Grandma doing that, timingly, brought out the Christ child in that child. Now, you knew that the Christ child was going to do that. You knew that. You just knew that he wasn't going to spend that money on himself because he didn't need anything. His heart was filled with happiness with the idea that Grandma loved him so much and trusted him to go down into that big city. One store. Yeah. I had such a grandma, she didn't give me money, but she trusted us. She didn't have money, it was depression time. And I went down in Kingston, Illinois to her stores and looked around. And there were 4 stores in the center of town. Dry goods store, butcher shop, grocery store, and so forth, you know. But it was wonderful. You see, are you ready to raise the Christ child? Are you ready to raise your Christ self? Are you ready to be the most that you can be? Are you ready to be the finest that you can be? Katerina's ready. She's ready. She just has to let go of trying to be something she's not and be what she is. Gregor's ready. Heinz is ready. Jan and Patrick are ready. Are you guys ready? Are you ready this day to say, I am the Christ child. I am pure. I am free. I am magnificent. Are you ready? You can. Are you ready to tell the world just how fantastic you are, not with words, but with your aura, with your actions, with your attitude? Are you ready? It doesn't matter what the world thinks. Because when you have the right thought within yourself, that's what the world thinks. The world only thinks what you think. Remember that. So be careful what your thoughts are. If you think the world thinks something and it's not what you want, change it quick. Don't ever let it last more than an instant, if that long. The world loves you, and I love you. And I see the Christ self in each one of you, because I see it myself. And you're glorious, wonderful, fantastic. Raise a Christ child, Can I raise my Christ self? The answer is yes. Go for it. I love you.